Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, once again. This is a story of the man blind from birth. A little long, as our Bible readings go, but I hope you'll be able to follow it very easily. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. He put it on the man's eyes, and he said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was, and others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then are your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought him to the Pharisees. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, and "I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and received this sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can now see now, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they replied. They said, "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" And they hurled insults at him and said, You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do anything." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Now as Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and said, Are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Now, both of these lessons are full of attention-getting information. So I'm going to split them up. We're going to talk about this passage, the Old Testament passage from 1 Samuel first. Samuel has been sent by God to anoint the next king of Israel. Samuel was kind of partial to Saul. He had been his first anointing, and he thought, well, this is going to be the king. I've done a good job for God. But Saul didn't work out. So the Lord gave Samuel his instructions. He met with Jesse, living in Bethlehem. You think there's a coincidence there? It's one of those God coincidences. He met with Jesse, and the Lord revealed him that the next king would be one of Jesse's sons. So when the time came for selection, Samuel took a look at Eliab. And he thought, now there's a strapping, handsome young man. He would be a great king. He's got to be the one. But God chided Samuel and said, do not look at his appearance, his height, or stature, because I have rejected him. Because God does not see as human beings see, God sees the heart. So Samuel reviewed seven of Jesse's sons. Each of the seven was rejected. So he asked Jesse, are these all? And Jesse replied that the youngest, David, was out in the fields shepherding the sheep. David was called, and Samuel anointed him to be Israel's next king. And as we can say, the rest is all history. But this story illustrates our human tendency, and I want to highlight this, to rely upon our own ideas and perceptions about God's preferences. I went to seminary with a young man who was quadriplegic. And many of my fellow seminarians looked at him and wondered, how could he ever be a pastor? He can't get up out of his wheelchair. He can't do much without shaking like a leaf. And how could he become? Yet he was called by God. And I happen to know that this man passed away just last year after a long pastorate where he was revered in Texas. We judge by vision too often. If God had not stopped him, Samuel would have chosen Eliab. And like most of us, we rely upon those perceptions and ideas to put our world in order, in an order that we desire. Keep that in mind. Now we switch to our New Testament lesson. Jesus and his disciples came upon the man who'd been blind from birth. Immediately, the disciples jumped to the conclusion that this man's blindness was the result of sin. Of course, it was a common belief at that time, and I'm sorry, it's still common today, that if someone suffers a misfortune, there's going to be someone in the crowd who says, oh, it's because of some sin. It's because, you know, they brought this on themselves. But Jesus explained to the disciples that this man's blindness was not related to either his parents or his sin. This man was blind in order that God's grace and mercy might be displayed in him. There's a reason why John used so much of his gospel to display the interrogation of this man born blind from birth. Did you notice that there was not one person who stopped to celebrate with him? If you had been blind from birth and you came downtown here, I hope that someone would stand up and celebrate with you, that you had gotten your sight. I was once blind, but now I see, right? Nobody celebrated in this story. They questioned, and they pointed the finger. Common thought said that this man was blind because someone had sinned. But Jesus demonstrated that God is the master of our reality, and God has God's own way of shaping reality. Jesus enacts God's plan for the blind man by giving him sight, and even more human misconceptions are revealed after the aftermath, right? First, the man revealed his new sight to his neighbors. They had great difficulty in accepting the fact of his new identity. They had known him as a blind man who begged along the street day after day, year after year. They were so ensconced of their perception of reality that they doubted that this was the same man. Oh, it's just someone who looks like a blind man. They made him explain himself, and then they carried him off to see the Pharisees, and the Pharisees made him recount his story again and again, and they immediately judged that since this miracle was done in violation of the Sabbath, then Jesus could not be from God. They asked the man himself, "What do you say about him?" The man initially said, "He's a prophet." But the community of faith decided not to believe that this man had ever been blind, so they called his parents, and the parents testified he had indeed been blind from birth. The religious leaders were in a real jam because this miracle did not fit into their neat perception of how God works. They desperately wanted to label this as a hoax or a work of evil. So once again, they confronted the formerly blind man, saying, "Give glory to God, admit that the man who healed you is a sinner." And the formerly blind man is exasperated, and he said, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know, but this I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." I made this statement the name of this sermon. And I did it on purpose because right here is that when the rubber meets the road, this is where the heart of it is. You know, we may not know everything there is to know about Jesus. I have people approach me sometimes who have read a lot of theology, and they say, "What do you think about this fancy doctrine or that fancy doctrine?" And I feel like just doing like the blind man said, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. But this I do know, that I was once blind, but now I see." And then finally, I love this guy, by the way. He says to the Pharisees, these great religious leaders, "Well, here's an amazing thing. You religious leaders do not know anything about Jesus, yet he opened my eyes. Now, we know that this man has to be from God, because no one has ever heard of a person blind from birth receiving their sight. Now, if this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything, right?" Of course, they threw him out of the temple at that point, right? It is always our greatest fulcrum of faith. And I say fulcrum because you use a fulcrum to lift heavy things, right? If you have an unbeliever and you're talking to them, they're going to spot it if you're fake. They're going to spot it if what you're saying is not coming from the heart. So you got to use that same powerful statement that the blind man said. "I don't know everything there is to know about Jesus and about God, but I do know this, that whereas I was blind, I was a lost sinner, could not find my way, but now I see. Now I am saved. Amazing grace has taken over my life." You say that with conviction and people listen. People will hear you. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be all of this with all the theological language. So Jesus returned to the man. You know, there's a principle here too. If you ever come into a situation where, you know, people are not trusting you, they're questioning you, and you make you in your own mind, you're questioning your own faith. Am I right here? I'm trying to act according to God's will, and yet I'm getting a lot of flack. Jesus will come to you. You say, "Oh, no, he's not going to be an apparition, showing." But he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you listen, if you quiet your own soul and listen, the Holy Spirit will come speak to you. And Jesus pronounced this defining statement of the whole situation. He said, "For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Now, this world has no shortage. We know this. All you have to do is get on social media or watch a television program nowadays, particularly a news program, to know that people are coming at things from a particular point of view. They're pushing their own agenda because they see what no one else is seeing, right? I'm going to read again what Jesus says about that. "For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." I think there's a whole lot of blind people out there. They're rejecting the church. They're rejecting Christ. And they're right. They just feel like they are so right. They can see what no one else can see. We live in an assumptive world, a world that has very strict boundaries. Have you noticed that? The boundaries are getting bigger and stronger now. You can't say this. You can't do that. You're going to offend this person. You're going to offend that person. These boundaries are designed to help us define what we can and cannot allow to happen. And now we, in society, and we ourselves, set up boxes. And each box helps us to assign a cause to explain why a certain thing should happen. Now, I've seen a lot of people, I've been a Republican all my life, but I've seen a lot of Republicans make the mistake of saying, "Oh, they're poor, that must be, you know, it's all their own fault. I mean, they've just been lazy, they've taken the dole for too long," and all this stuff. Where do we get the right to judge that? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have that luxury of rejecting someone because they might have done something wrong in their life to you know, bring on their economic hardship. We don't have that right. Every happening we encounter is a result of a cause labeled by one of our boxes. How many times do we say, "Oh, you know, this person was brought into my life because, you know, God needed me to minister to them"? Do we say that, or do we say, "That bum tried to get some money off of me as I was walking down the street"? The disciples saw the man blind from birth, and they put him in a box, and they said, "Sinner, not worth our trouble. Walk on by." Did Jesus walk on by? Of course not. When we encounter something that doesn't fit into our boxes, we frantically try to make them fit. Another pastor friend of mine has a saying about this, and it applies to church people too. If it doesn't fit your usual ideas of a situation, then people will often make up what they don't know. How often is that true? There are a lot of situations in life that may look a certain way. And if we don't know the facts, we'll make up something so it'll fit in our nice little boxes. Now, the Pharisees frantically did that with the formerly blind man. Jesus is teaching us this morning that our assumptive boxes do not have all the possible answers. That if we truly want to see the way before us, the truth of our existence, and lay hold of life eternal, and living in the light of grace as we are, then we got to begin to see the world through his eyes. You know, there was that popular saying for quite a while, and I still see it from time to time, WWD, what would Jesus do? The question is what did Jesus see? What did Jesus see as he walked down the street? Now, his disciples saw the sinner sitting in the dirt begging. Jesus saw a glowing tribute to Almighty God that just would take him to rub a little mud on the man's eyes and send him to a pool. That's what Jesus sees. That's how Jesus sees. And it's something we have to work at ourselves, is to adapt that vision of Jesus' sight. And to him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a moment of prayer. We thank you, Jesus, for this example. And we ask you forgiveness that, yeah, we make up our mind ahead of time sometimes. Help us to be open to your prompting, to the power of your Holy Spirit to guide us into those encounters where you have prepared the road where God can be glorified if we only put aside our own presuppositions. Give us vision. Give us insight. And grant us your grace once again through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.